Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yivamis Samach Vav. Yivamis Samach Vav. We left off Samach Hey Amid Beis. We're still finishing up the sixth parak. Meretz Hashem, we'll finish the sixth parak and start the seventh parak shortly. We left off on Samach Hey Amid Beis. Let's go back to Yehuda V'Chizkiah. Let's go back to just a couple lines before that. Yehuda Isa Kamei Rav Nachman. Just to go over that last discussion, we're in the middle of the Mishnah. Really, Tanakhama says what we've been holding throughout the parak, that the mitzvah Puravu is only on men. Not on women, it's only on the man, not on the woman. Rabbi Yechim Breka argued and said Mitzvah Puravu applies both to men and to women, because the Pasuk says, Vayvarach Isa Melikim, Vayamar Lehem Elikim Puravu. So the Mitzvah Puravu applies equally to women as men. We then had a machlekes in the Gemara between Reish Lakish and between Rabbi Yechim and Shisei, and Rabbi Shubha Levi, between Rabbi Yechim and Shubha Levi, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yechim Breka or not. So the Gemara wanted to know, so what's the bottom line? So we try to bring a raya from a story where Rav Yechim was present and a woman demanded a divorce because she wasn't having children with her husband. She demanded a divorce because she wanted to have children. And Rabbi Yechim says she's entitled to a divorce and a ksuva. And we assume that means Rabbi Yechim is entitled to a ksuva, that means Rabbi Yechim holds that she's able to demand divorce and still collect ksuva because she has a mitzvah puravu, so she wants to become her mitzvah. So the husband has to grant her the opportunity to become the mitzvah, which would mean Rabbi Yechim and passes like Rabbi Yechim and break. The Gemara deflected and said, no, over there she wanted to have children not because of a mitzvah, she's not mechayev the mitzvah, she wanted to have children to care for her in her old age. So he quickly read, I believe he already asked to read again, Ahud Aslik, Kamed Rav Nachman, another story that resembles this. There was a woman that came in front of Rav Nachman, Amarlai, said to Rav Nachman, she came to Rav Nachman to demand a divorce because they weren't having children. She claimed her husband was unable to father a child. And Rav Nachman said to her, you're not commanded on Puravu. And if you're not commanded on Puravu, you cannot demand a get for that purpose and expect to get a ksuva. Amrila, she said to Rav Nachman, does this woman not need a stick, a cane for her hand, umar lekvura, and a shovel for her burial? I mean, I need children to take care of me also when I get old, like the prior Gemara, last one we read yesterday. So said Rav Nachman, Amr, if that's the case, if that's what you want to demand to get, that you have full right to demand to be able to have a child for that purpose, if it's for the mitzvah, you don't have a mitzvah. But if it's the purpose of having children to take care of you, then kihavad the kafina, we would force the husband to indeed give her a get, and she still would be entitled to ksuva. So we still know raya from the forcing the husband to give her a get and give her ksuva, whether or not she has a mitzvah of puravu. Adrab, these amarab seem to be saying exactly opposite, that she has no mitzvah of puravu, seem to be passing like a tanakama permission, she has no mitzvah of puravu, and still she can demand a get and ksuva because she has a right to be entitled to have at least attempt to have children. Says the Gemara, a story, which is again related to this Shaila. Yud v'chizkiah tumam ayu. Yud and Chizkiah were twins. They were twins. They were both sons of Reb Chiya. Yud and Chizkiah were twin sons of Reb Chiya. Echad nigmar tzoros l'seif tisha, v'echad nigmar tzoros l'tchil shiva. So interesting, we know in the Gemara's days, a child was either born a 7-month baby or a 9-month baby. A 7-month baby, 9-month baby, 8-month children, 8-month babies, used to not survive. Seemingly times have changed, but back in the day, it was either 7-month baby or a 9-month baby. Now, the assumption was that a 9-month baby is supposed to be full term. 7-month baby is able to be born. There were discussions that even according to my number, that a baby not full term by a 9-month baby will not survive, but a baby not full term by a 7-month baby would survive. So essentially, a 7-month baby not full term could be born right into the 6th month. So these were twins, Yehuda and Chizkiah. One of them was Nigmar Tzurasa, the safe 9 months, and one of them was Nigmar Tzurasa, and when we say Nigmar Tzurasa, we mean actually the actual birth, not just they completed the Tzura. The birth took place after 6 months, which or in the beginning of the 7th month, after 6 months, was the time that the first one was born, which led her, the mother, to a lot of pain. She was having contractions and sar leda over a period of months. Says that Gemara, Yehudas Tvisad Reb Chiya, Yehudas was the wife of Reb Chiya, who was the one that was mothering these children, Havut sar leda, she had lot sar leda. So she said, Shanay mana, she changed her clothing. So she got disguised herself. She came in front of Reb Chiya, and Amr, she said, which is her husband, and Amr, she said, it's a mifka peruvimia, is a woman mitzvah on peruvu. Amr Allah, so what did Reb Chiya say? Lai, a woman is not commanded on peruvu. This is, again, we're issuing a psak, similar to the past couple of stories we had, that the woman is not mitzvah, like a Tanakh of Mishnah, not like a Bechama Breka. We're saying over here that the woman is not commanded in peruvu. What does she do? Azul, because she had so much tsar from the prior childbirths, Azul, Aishti Samadak character. She drank some sort of potion that made her sterile took away her ability to have children. The Sefik Lamosa, after it became known to Reb Chiya what happened, it was his own wife that asked him the Shaila, and based on his psak, she took away her ability to have children. Amrullah, he said to her, if only you would have given birth to me one more basketful of, one more kreisak, wombful, one more wombful of children. Meaning, what's one more wombful? Because Yud and Chizkiah were one set of twins, but she had already had another set of twins. Tamamar, Yud and Chizkiah, Achi, Yud and Chizkiah, twin brothers. Pazi and Tavi, Tap of Sam Ravam Lalav, Achvasa, were twin sisters. So basically, this Yehudis, Rechiah's wife, used to give birth to twins. So he was saying, oh, Halavai, you would have given me one more set of twins before you took that, sterile making mix to stop you from having children. Halavai, you would have given me one more set of twins. Okay, but the point is that clearly Reb Chiya was postulating, like we've been saying from these prior stories, like the Tanakhama or Mishnah, that the mitzvah of puravu is only on the man and not on the woman. In fact, the marav lemifkdi is that so that the women are not mitzvah in puravu. I via Amar Rav Acha Bar Rav Katina Amar Rav Yitzchak Ma'aseh Bishachas is true with the isha shechetzi shivcha vechetzi aschirin. This is true with an isha who is a half shivcha, half aschirin. What's the case? The case could be simple. Case would be we always talk about shas about the man being half Evan, half Ben Chayrin. We talk about that case, but the same case can be applied by a woman. Let's say two Shutfim together bought an Isha as a slave, and one of them freed her. One of them freed his portion, the other one didn't. So she's now Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Bas Chayrin. The Kaf was Rabba, Vasa Bas Chayrin. The rabbi, the master was forced to make her free. They forced the master, the one who remained on the other half, to free her totally. She has still owes the money to pay back her own value, but they forced him to make her free. Now, why do we say by Chatzi Evi Chatzi Ben Chayrin that you have to free? So if you remember, there's a famous Gemara. Beis Hillel first said, what do you do by Chatzi Evi Chatzi Ben Chayrin? Beis Hillel says, let the Evi be Evi himself one day, work for himself one day, and work for his rabbi the next day. You alternate. Shabbos takes off, and every other day, he works one day for himself, one day for the rabbi. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, tekantem es rabbi, v'lo tekantem es atzmai. You fix the rabbi situation. The master owns half. He gets work every other day. Himself, the guy's messed up. Why is the guy himself messed up? Lisa Shivcha. He can't marry Shivcha because he's a Chatz Ben Chayrin. He can't marry a Bas Chayrin because he's a Chatz Shivcha. He can't marry either type of person. And he to not get married at all, that's not an option because there's a commandment that the even the Mar actually used the Lashon over there of the Pasuk of Leisov Aron, the Shevis Yitzhara, the world was created to be inhabited. The Pasuk from Shaya, the Mar does not quote the Pasuk of Puruvu, could be because it's a half of it's an Evid, but both halves have a mitzvah Puruvu, whether it's the half Evid or the half that's free, have a mitzvah. Elus is Beishamai, Kaifin is Rabbi. You force the rabbi, who is Maitzim Maitzai Balkarch, you make him free the Evan. The Evan has to pay back the money, but you force the rabbi to free him. That's, and famously, what happened over there, Beis Hillel was Chazur and said, you're right. And Beis Hillel was Chazur, the Shitis Beshamai. That's what you do to the Evan. The Gemara is saying over here clearly, seems like we're doing the same thing for the Chatzi Shif Chatz Maschur. But if you say a woman doesn't have a mitzvah peruvu, the woman doesn't have a mitzvah peruvu, then why would we force the rabbi to free her? L'chaira, she's not mitzvah peruvu, so you didn't fix her up. We don't have to fix her. She doesn't have the mitzvah peruvu. It's actually still interesting based on the diak. If we quoted specifically the pasuk of Yisayu Varel, the Shevet Zitzara, maybe that mitzvah she does have. Okay, but the Gemara gives different answers. That's Gemara, Amar Nachma Yitzchak, Minig Hefker Nagaba. It was a minig of Hefker that was naig there, meaning she said to herself, I cannot get married. I can't get married to a Ben Chayrin. I can't get married to an Eved because I'm half and half. So what did she do? She has needs also. So she was promiscuous. She let herself be free and let people take advantage. So people were being boiler out of the context of marriage. She was a michshel for the community. You have this woman who's free, who's free for the taking without any being bound to any sort of formal relationship. So they said they forced the rabbi to free her for a totally different reason, not because of puravu, because again, we're sticking with our psak that a woman's not mitzvah puravu, but rather because she was making herself hefker. Hadrin alecha b'vimta, just 2 points actually from yesterday's daf that we left out or that we have an answer to a question. Yesterday, we said that the woman, if she says that I've had no miscarriages in 10 years of marriage, and the husband says, no, you had a miscarriage. So the husband's saying, let's restart the clock from when the miscarriage was for the 10 years till we have to get divorced. And the woman's saying, no, there was no miscarriage. We said she's believed. Why? Because when she says there's no miscarriage, that means she's cementing a reputation that she's someone that couldn't have children for 10 years. So if she's willing to make her reputation negative, so we said from, I think it was Rami, that she's believed. It must be she's saying the truth, and we let her have a get. And we said in a similar case, if the husband's... So we had a simple, that was a question we asked yesterday. Very good. So then we had a simple case that if the husband claims that there was two miscarriages, so she actually had two miscarriages, and she said, no, it was three. Halacha is, the more established, if a woman has three miscarriages, she becomes, in a row, she becomes a muchzit to have miscarriages, and again, that's grounds for divorce, that she's having, she can't carry a baby to term, she can't have a viable baby. So the husband said she had two miscarriages. She says, no, it was three. Rami says, a woman's not going to want to be mischazak herself as a woman who can't have children that are viable, and therefore, Yitzhak gets rid of her, Yitzhak gets divorced, we believe her, if she's saying that, that must mean she's saying the truth, we believe her, and she gets the get, and they get dismissed. And the question is, like Sula just brought up, that we have an issue, we mentioned briefly yesterday, that we have an issue that a woman who's married, who goes over and tells her husband, I did a terrible thing, I had an affair outside the marriage. I don't really have to imagine. The lacha is a woman who strays outside the marriage, she's usher to her husband. She's usher to the boyle, she's husband, she's husband, they have to get divorced. She's claiming she had a fear. She's saying, I'm doing tshuva out of fear, but the maisa, we're usher now. What's the lacha? We don't believe her. Why don't we believe her? Because it's a ticket out of the marriage. How does a woman get out of the marriage? One way she gets out of the marriage is to make her, force her way out by saying, I'm usher to you, and I have to give me a get. We don't believe her. And we point out there was a story with Rabbi Asher himself, where a woman came in and mamish this type of situation where she said, I did a terrible chait, and he said, get out, I don't believe you. Life goes on. Ignore it. You're not believed. Allah l'maisa, we don't believe you. So, why in our Gemara are we okay to believe her? Because she's damaging your reputation. Is there anything more damaging to her reputation than saying that she was Mizana? And so we don't believe her, so why is different? So the first point out, it's really a deep, it's clear in Rashi. And we may mention this yesterday, this idea of Rashi, but we didn't tie it together to this prat. Rashi says we're talking about a case where she didn't want to get divorced. We're talking about a case where the husband went to the courts, or the courts walked in and said, we have a couple that's married 10 years without kids. What's the story? And the husband is offering that she had a miscarriage, she wants to be married. And she said, no, I never had a miscarriage. But she wasn't looking to get divorced in the first place. If she's not looking at divorce, we're not concerned she's saying an excuse to get herself out of the marriage because she wasn't looking to get divorced. Rashi says the words very clearly, and the top of Rashi, on Samach Hemabez, right before the Mishnah, Rashi's lesson is, so we force them to get divorced. We're not talking about a case where she's being tevei gershin. It's our job to force them because of mitzvah puravu, but it's not her looking to get divorced. Because if it was her looking to get divorced, we taka wouldn't believe. Rashi didn't speak out those words, but the Rosh Hashanah says that's what Rashi's alluding to, that if she was looking to get divorced, then of course we wouldn't believe her, because it's her ticket out. We're talking about a woman, she wants to stay married for another 10 years, for another 20 years. She's happy to stay married. Nevertheless, they come to ask her questions, this is her response, then we believe her, because in that context, we don't see her as trying to get out, and therefore, she's nemanis if she says something that's detrimental to herself. Another quick point, that we're a little short of time, is the Gemara had said yesterday in the Morah Gadlik Gemara about not giving musr to someone who won't accept it, only it's a mitzvah to refrain from giving musr to someone who won't accept it. So we did, someone mentioned, actually after this year, we did learn in the Gemara in Erechin that one is mechuyev to give musr until they beat him up. So that Gemara seems to be saying in Erechin that until they're ready to patch you, to stop giving musr, so you got to give it. Obviously, talking about people that are probably not going to listen, and you're still giving the musr, even though you're only stopping when they're coming to strike you. And Avir is saying, you don't give musr, it's not going to be listened to. What's the chilvut in this Gemara, that Gemara? So the basic answer, Taisus rest the question, other Shem gives the question, Taisus gives the answer, it depends, biyachim or barabim. Barabim, When the question of what that means, we're talking about, we embarrassing the guy with the rebuke because of barabim. We're talking about the guy's doing the aveira barabim. The aveira, let's go that side simply. When the aveira is barabim over there, it requires more of a rebuke. Even if it's going to come to the point where they're going to hit you, till they hit you, you have to get the rebuke. When it's the biyachid, then we say, if you know, they're not going to listen anyway, we don't have that same obligation to give you a rebuke. But the Mishnah do address the question from that Gemara and Erechim to our Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Amana l'kayin gadol. We know that that's a prohibited marriage. And Amana, who married a kayin gadol, Grusha chutz l'kayin hedid, Grusha chutz l'kayin hedid. We already discussed this. We continue on the same topic. We've been off and on discussing the idea we got to Puravu, but discuss the topic of marriages between Amana l'kayin gadol, Grusha chutz l'kayin hedid, these sister marriages, and whether or not the husband can feed the wife truma, as we discussed already, started about 10-15 months ago, and it continues now into this new parak, that Amana l'kayin gadol, or Grusha chutz l'kayin hedid, what's this halacha? Not about themselves. They themselves certainly can't eat truma. Why? Because the amana, when she has a kain gadol, she becomes a chalala, when she has bia for sure. And the grusha and the chalutza, the kain gadol, also become a chalala. Their chalalas, a chalala can't eat truma. Adrabe, even if she's a bas kain, if you cannot be married to the kain, even if she's a bas kain, she can't eat truma beis avia, once she's a chal. What's our shayla? Our shayla is going to be about the possessions. Let's see. Hechnisla avdim melug avdim zembarzel. If she born into the marriage, what we call avadim of melug, or avadim of tzeir barzel. What's going to be the din about the avadim eating chum? We know typically the avadim are able to chumah. His avadim can chumah if he's a kayin, and even her avadim, if she's married to a kayin, she can chumah. Her avadim goes to chumah. But in this case, she cannot eat chumah because she's a halala. What's going to be the din with avadim she brings into the marriage? Now, what is the difference between avdei melug and avdei tzeir barzel? Famous aside, it's kind of always chazered over. Basic idea: melug are the assets she brings into the marriage, where she retains ownership of the asset, and he simply gets the payers. He gets the payers. But she maintains ownership. If the assets go up in value, it's her benefit. If the assets go down in value, her loss. He doesn't have to make up the difference by the fact that she brought into the marriage and it was worth $100 and now it's worth $50. It's not his job to make it up because she always maintained ownership over the Karen and he's just getting the payers. The old example would be like a piece of land that he's working the field. She owns the land, still she kept ownership of the real estate, and he's getting the benefits of what the produce that comes off the land, the modern day equivalent. Again, not that there's no farming anymore, there certainly is, but the more common modern day equivalent is she brings an apartment building into the marriage. She owns the building, but the profits of the operations of the building will go to the husband while they're married. Building goes up in value, her benefit. Building goes down in value, her loss. But the husband's just getting the pairs. Then you have what's called the Nichtsim Barzel. Nichtsim Barzel could be the same asset. Bring a building into the marriage. Let's take the same case. The building was evaluated at $1 million when they went into the marriage. The halacha by Nichtsim Barzel is the husband writes the ksuva, I received an asset worth $1 million, and I owe her $1 million on the way out. If that asset, when he comes 15 years later, is worth $10 million, you know who gets the extra $9 million? The husband. He keeps it. He only owes her $1 million. She brought in $1 million, he has to give back $1 million. Apparently, we don't count for inflation, but he only owes her the value of what was brought into the marriage. If it goes down in value, he's got to make up the difference. If the building went from being worth $1 million to being worth $500,000, he has to make up the difference. That's tzeir barzel. Tzeir barzel means it's like fixed in stone. It's like strong like stone. Whatever the value is when it was brought in, written the ksuva, and he owes her that value. Whereas ben meluk, it really belongs to her still, and he's just benefiting from the payers. So the shayla is, could these avadim eat chuma? The simple breakdown of whether they eat chuma or not is really going to be, do we view them as belonging to the husband or to the wife? The wife cannot eat chuma. She's a halala. The wife can't eat chuma. If we view them as viewing to the husband, then that would be a reason to say that they could eat chuma, presumably. I'm getting ahead of myself a drop, but that's going to be Nichsei Malug, the Mishnah is going to say, cannot eat chuma? And Nichsei Tzeir Basel, we're going to say, could yes eat chuma? But the Gemara is going to elaborate why Nichsei Malug can't eat chuma. I kind of just spoke out one of the reasons. The Gemara is going to speak out multiple reasons why Nichsei Malug cannot eat chuma. Why Nichsei Tzeir Basel could eat chuma is fairly obvious. He's a Kayan, it's an Evan. The Evan has a status of it really fully belongs to him because he owes the money of the value, and therefore can eat chuma. Let's see the Mishnah side. Says the Mishnah, Avdei Malug. These are the following on Avdei Melug. In Mesu, Avdei Melug, the din is if they die, Mesula, they're her loss. If the Avdei Melug die, they are her loss because she maintained ownership. He was just getting the payers. Then Mesiru, if they increase in value, Mesirula, if the price of Avdei goes up in value, it's her benefit. Whereas, even though he, the husband, is mechayev in the mezainah, so it's ironic, the husband is a kayin, is obligated to feed them because that's part of operations. If he's benefiting from the payers that they produce while they're married, he's got to feed these avadim. Still, even though he's obligated to feed them, he's still not able to feed them chuma. What are the avdei tzeir barzel? These avadim that are, we call tzeir barzel, that she brought to the marriage, in mesu, if they die during the marriage, mesu loy, it's his loss because he has to make up whatever value they're worth when they came into the marriage. He's got to pay that back to her. Then mesiru, if they go up in value, mesiru loy, he gets the increase in value. He gets that increase in value. He only has to pay what they were worth b'shas the marriage again, not more. So he gets the increase in value. Since he's totally chayv b'chayusun, so the mission does speak out pretty black and white what we said before over there. Since he's chayv b'chayusun, they are going to be able to eat chuma. Says the Mishnah further, Bas Yisrael shenisses the kayin, a Bas Yisrael that marries a kayin, v'chnis le'avadim. So if a Bas Yisrael that marries a kayin, this is not a chalala, this is not a mana or a grusha marrying someone that's usher. This is just a regular Bas Yisrael. She wouldn't be able to eat chuma on her own, obviously, but she's married to a kayin, which allows her to eat chuma, and she brings an avadim. Says the Mishnah, pain avdim milg benim tzibarzel, whether the avadim are milug, which belong to her, whether avadim are tzibarzel, which belong to him, haray eliyach b'chuma, they can eat chuma. What's the idea? Because they're all kinyakaspa, they're all, these avadim all belong to him or her. They're both able to eat chuma in this case, both him and her, the wife. Everything's kosher, and therefore, all the avadim may eat chuma. Says the Mishnah, the opposite direction, a bas kayin, who she was able to eat chuma, but she just is Yisrael, she went and married Yisrael, which takes away her ability to eat chuma. The chis avadim, she brought avadim to the marriage, over there, where the avadim look, but avadim tzibazo, can't eat chuma, because say he, the husband, who's Yisrael, say her, the bas kayin, who's now married to Yisrael, none of them keep chuma, and therefore the avadim, say nixim look, say nixim bazo, whether they view them as belonging to her, like nixim look, or you view them as belonging to him, by a nechsis and marzal, either way they cannot eat chumah because none of the spouses, the husband and wife in that case, both cannot eat chumah. Okay. Says the Gemara. Avdei Maluk. You're telling me that Avdei Maluk loy yechel b'tshuva. Avdei Maluk can't eat chumah. Amai, why not? Lahavik kinyanei shekana kinyan. We're saying by the case where you have the amana, the married kohen gadol, she wasn't supposed to do this marriage. She's a chalala, she can't eat chuma. And now the Avdei Maluk, which belonged to her, also can't eat chuma. Why should that be? Let it be the case of a kinyan that's kohen kinyan, and a kinyan that's kohen kinyan is able to eat chuma. What's the case? It's how you marry the kohen shenasa isha. How you know a kohen who marries a woman, v'kana avadim, and v'kana avadim means or he's kohen avadim, sheikhul b'chuma, that these Isha or Avad may be able to chuma. Shnei v'kain kikinay nefesh kinyan kaspa yechal. Famous pasuk that a kainu is kinyan when he's kaina a nefesh kinyan kaspa kini chuma. His wife is Avadim kini chuma. Basic din. Umenayin has the part that we need for our next level. Umenayin isha shekatz Avad. May you know if the woman who is already kind of the kinyan of the kain, if she herself is kain Avadim or Vavadav shekatz Avadim or his own Avadim were kain of their own Avadim, right? Heavy wealthy Avadim. These Avadim, these slaves were kain of Avadim. How, by the way, how does the Eved have money to be kain Avadim? You know, kamash kain Eved, kain Rabbi. Whatever the Eved owns, the Rabbi owns. The second the Eved's kain Avadim, it should belong to the Rabbi. Rashi, the question Rashi says, the case is we have this idea elsewhere in Shas where someone gave the Eved money. A manas she'in the rabbi b'shuspay. Someone gave the Eved money and said, "This is money that's condition that's a gift to you, conditional that it doesn't go to your master." So that money belongs dafka to the Eved. Same idea with the Isha. Also, you can have this concept. That's like she could have money, and the Isha and the Eved or the Eved could go now and buy their own Eved. That could be the case. Taisa says even according to my number that you can't have such a case of. That we don't, Rav Meir holds, you don't say that concept. Still, the case could be where the master was mafkir the Eved, but didn't yet give him a get shikra. So the Eved is free in the sense that he could be kind of his own assets, but he's not totally out of the master's house yet in terms of Isav Heter. So the Eved's still eating Shuma, but he has his own yah to be kind of things. Okay, by the way, you have a case where an Eved owns an Eved, or the Isha owns their own Eved. How do you know that that secondary Eved is also able to eat Shuma? Sheikh b'tshuva shenamar says, "What's the price? What's the source? The kain kikinek nefesh kinyan kaspay hu yechabay kinyanei shekane kinyan eichel." We learn from that pasuk even his kinyan, the kain's kinyan, his wife or his eved, that they themselves made a kinyan could also be truma. So ask the gemara in our case, l'chayri you have a kain gadol married to an amana. Yes, the amana cannot eat truma because she's a chalala, but her kinyan, which is avdei maluk, should yes be able to eat truma. It should be a case of just out of this brisa, just like in a case where she's able to eat truma. Her kinyan is also a tibi chuma all on the power of the kayan. In this case, granted she can't eat chuma because she's a halala, but she's still his kinyan, and her kinyan, when she's his kinyan, she'll also be able to eat chuma like we said in the Baisa. So therefore, the Avdei Malug, not just Avdei Sermazal, why in the Mishnah are her Avdei Malug not able to eat chuma? It says the Gemara, answer number one. The Gemara gives a few explanations. Answer number one, kol eichel meichel, kol she'ina eichel eina meichel. Because the klal is, whoever eats chuma can entitle down the chain to eat chuma as well. So she can entitle her Eved to eat chuma if she herself is eating chuma. If she herself is not eating chuma, she cannot entitle her Eved to eat chuma. Why? Well, the Gemara says, v'lay, is that so? Is that correct? That if she can't eat chuma, she can't enable her Eved to eat chuma, v'harei arel, v'chol tamayim, she'enu eichlo machilim, an arel, a case of a kohen who didn't get a mila, or a case of a kohen who's tamay, every time a kohen is tamay. At this moment in time, the kohen is tamay, can't eat chuma. The arel can't eat chuma. Yet his avadim could eat chuma. You have a case of someone who can't eat chuma is still being meichel others chuma. So this Isha, who's a chalala, should also be able to be meichel her avadim chuma. That's where you can't compare. Hasam pumayu kavlu. Over there, their mouths are causing them pain. What does that mean? What that means is that right now it's a temporary issue. An Aril, even an Aril, for whatever reason, why he's not getting a Mila, maybe he'll never get the Mila, but the point is the solution is there. Give the Mila, and then he can eat Chuma. As someone who's Tame, right now he's Tame. The kind of Tame, the second he becomes a star, he can eat Chuma again. So it's a temporary issue, so to speak. It's not a permanent issue, and therefore they can be Meichel, their Avadim Chuma, even though at this current moment, they can't eat Chuma. But the Almana, who is not able to marry the Kohen Gadol, who did, and she became a Chalala, she's permanently ineligible to eat Chuma. Such a woman cannot feed her Eved Chuma. So when we say whoever is not Eichel can't be Meichel, whoever can't eat Chuma themselves cannot allow their Eved to eat Chuma, it's talking about someone who cannot eat Chuma, you know, forever. They're totally pasul from eating Chuma, like the Isha who's a widow, who married a Kohen Gadol, she cannot be Meichel, in our Mishnah, the Eved Chuma. But in other cases, it's not a stira, because over there, it was more of a temporary type of issue. In fact, Gemara, one second, Mary Mamzer, she'en Eichel Meichel. The Mamzer, who can't eat chuma, mamzer from the kain, can't eat chuma, yet he is meichel. What does that mean? What's the case? Especially the case like this. We have a kain who's married to a bas Yisrael. So the halacha is while they're married, she eats chuma. What if the kain husband dies? If there's no children, she can't eat chuma anymore. She goes back to her father's house, she can't eat chuma. What if she had children from this kain? Cause man, she still has children. She's considered still beis kain, and she can eat chuma. What if she had a daughter? That daughter went and gave birth to a mamzer. whatever the scenario was, that daughter had a mamzer. Her daughter then goes and passes away, Nebuch. The daughter dies. So you have the grandmother, Bas Yisrael, married to a Kayin. Kayin's out of the picture, he's gone. Her daughter's gone, but she has a grandson who's left over. This grandson, who's a mamzer, will actually be Michael, his grandmother Truma. Why? Because the grandmother is still considered in the house of the Kayin because they are descendants from that marriage. So you have a mamzer being Michael Truma. Says one of our mamzer, Shein Eichel, mamzer certainly can't Truma, yet he's being Michael, Ein Eichel, but he's being Michael, the grandmother Truma. Amravina, Kinyan Eichel, Kamar, Kinyan Eichel, Machel, Shein Eichel, Ein Machel. So Ravina says, that's Uriah. Kinyan Eichel we're talking about. We're talking about, when we say Kala Eichel Truma, only someone who eats truma could be machal. We're talking about cases of kinyanim, like an eved being machal the next eved. But over here, when she's married to the kayan, her right to eat truma, she's like, she's in base kayan. That right to eat truma is called by she's base kayan, is not considered a case of a kinyan being eichel. It's considered a case of an isha who herself is considered like base kayan, and therefore a separate set of guidelines. She could eat truma, even though the one being meichel truma can't eat truma, and that wouldn't be a question on our klal. Says the Gemara. So explanation number one: why the woman cannot eat. Why her avada avdim lug can I eat truma is because since she can't eat truma because of her own issue, because of halalas, because she's possibly truma, she can't feed the avadim truma. For Rava, Marava says, midaraisa mechal achli, midaraisa really shitaka, the slaves can eat truma, the avdim lug eat truma, even though she can't. For Abanu the Gazri, the Abanu made Xeri, you know why? We don't like this marriage. She's not money to God. Let's stick a marriage. We don't want them to stay married. So Abana made Xerah, not only can she not eat truma because she's a halala, don't let her avad eat truma either. Why? Because she'll say, Ani ein echeles, I can't eat truma, obviously because I'm a halala. Avad ein echel. Now the Chum is saying, my avad can't eat truma either. You know what this basically means? It's as if I'm not married to my husband. I'm living with this husband, but I can't eat truma. My avad can't eat truma. It looks like the appearance is that I'm just living with this guy without the context of a marriage. It's very funny what tickles people's emotions. She's not money married to Kagod, that she's being over alive every single day. That doesn't bother her. But the fact that it appears to be she's a Zaina because she's not married, because she can't eat Truma, or ever can't eat Truma, that's going to bother her, and that's going to cause her to get divorced. Says Gemara, she's going to say, I don't need Truma, I don't need Truma, Zaina Yetzlai, I must be like a Zaina to this guy. Which will lead to argument, fighting, a leader to get divorced, and that's what we want. We want to be out of the marriage. So that's Xer. It's Xer just to cause to get divorced. That's what Avdei Meluk can't eat Truma. But you're right, really, Avdei Meluk, which are a Kenyan of a Kayan's Kenyan, she's the Kayan's wife's Kenyan, would really be able to eat Truma, even if she can't. Really, again, answer number one is that since she can't, they can't. Answer number two is no, really they could, but the Rabbanu Gezer in order to force her hand to get divorced. Rashi Amar, Gezer Shematach Lachem Yisr. Rashi says, no, there's a separate issue. There's a Gezer over here. After the husband dies, she may continue to feed them Truma. That's the thing she can't do. She's a Chalala. She's a Manat Kayan Gadol. She's a Chalala. She lost her ability to eat Truma, and she wouldn't be able to feed her Avada Truma either. Only while she's married to the Kayan could she feed the Avada Truma. We're scared she's going to continue to feed the Avada Truma even after husband dies. El Matthew Mar says, in a second, that should be a problem every single time you have a Bas Yisrael married to a Kayan. After the Kayan dies, we should be concerned that she's going to continue feeding the Avada Truma, and therefore she shouldn't be able to feed the Truma even while the Kayan's alive. Bas Yisrael, Shanisha's Kayan, Lay Teichel, every Bas Yisrael that marries the Kayan shouldn't be able to eat Truma. Gzeri Shabbatach, Lachamisa, maybe she'll feed the Avada after Misa. Why don't we always worry about this? Ella Amar Ravashi's Rashi tweaks it and says, and before we even see the tweak, before we even see Ravashi's tweak, Tosfos jumps in and says, I don't understand the Mar's Kasha. Tosfos is a very shtaker Kasha. Tosfos says, jump to the bottom Tosfos. Tema, like dummy, what's the unearth is the comparison? In our case, she was a Chalala while she's married to the Kohen Gadol. She cannot eat Juma this whole time. She can't eat Juma. Who could eat Juma? The Rav Adam. We're saying, let's make her dindik Juma. Our Mishnah said that no, she can't feed her Rav Adam Juma either. And the question was, why? The Rav Adam are able to eat Juma, why are we saying not? So Ravashi says, it's Xer because after the husband dies, she's going to continue to feed them Truma. It makes sense. She was never eating Truma till now, yet they were. She'll continue to feed them Truma while she's not. But in the case where she's a Bas Yisrael, married to a Kayan, she's eating Truma. She's feeding the Avadim Truma. The second husband dies, she herself has to stop eating Truma because she's no longer married to a Kayan, talking about with no children, so she'll stop feeding the Avadim. Says, how can you make El Mayata? If you're going to say that we're worried about such a Gzeira, in a case where she's a Chalala, we should worry about Gzeira by Bas Yisrael, she's just a Kayan, you can't compare. Chalala wasn't eating Truma, and there's no trigger in her own life to remind her to stop feeding avadim truma. Over here, she herself was eating truma, and she has to stop. Just like she has to stop, she'll stop feeding avadim. So this is a bomb kasha. What the gemara is happening is, and the gemara says a different. The gemara tweaks Rav Ashi's explanation. The gemara does keep this kasha in place. The chayra tastes as a strong aura. What was the gemara's kasha? Okay, Elam Rav Ashi ba'amana kahenes. You're right. We're talking about a case of an amana who she herself was a kahenes. The Asla Rie, she's going to say that even after her husband dies, she can continue feeding the Avadim Truma because she herself is always at the power to eat Truma on her own volition before her husband. Meikar Achleb Truma de Beinasa. Originally, I was eating Truma de Beinasa and Tzibile Lai Achleb Truma de Gavrai. When I was single, I was able to eat Truma at my father's house. I got married, I'm able to eat, well, she wasn't able to eat because she was a Chalala, but I'm able to. I have connection to my husband. I'm able to feed the avadim the truma based on my husband's status. And now that my husband's gone, I can go back and feed the truma based on my father's status. For the other, she's not going to realize. May kur l'shav sav shechalala. Initially, when she was a bas kayin, she wasn't a chalala, and therefore she's able to feed her avadim truma. Once she got into the marriage with the kayin, because she was l'amana, hashta shav yisrael shechalala. She married a chalala, and therefore she couldn't eat truma while they're married. But the avadim were able to. But now that she's out of the marriage, when she goes back to her beinasa, she would not be able to feed the avadim truma because her status of chalala precludes her feed the avadim. She won't make that connection, and therefore with geizer that she can't even feed the avadim truma while they're married. Gezeira unto geizer, he dies, and she becomes goes back to her father's house. She may continue to feed the avadim truma. Ask the Marlav this question. So that all fits in a case where she's a bas kayin. We're worried about this. If she wasn't a bas kayin to begin with, we shouldn't be worried. Teina chamanas bas kayin akayinas and amanu is bas kayin. It makes sense. This gezeira amanu bas shol mayaklam emer b'amanus leip pligir aban. The Marlav didn't want to start making chilukim between which type of amanu. Once we establish that she cannot feed. And a manah to kain gadol cannot feed her evet truma because of this chashash. If she's a kahanis, we say it applies. Even if she's not a kahanis, we made the takana across the board. Okay. Says the Gemara. Itmar hamachneses shum labala. Now we're going back to the Tzvein Barzal discussion. We had discussed in the Mishnah whether Tzvein Barzal could feed the avadim truma. We said yes because Tzvein Barzal really belongs to the husband. He's a proper kain or kain gadol. I say proper. He's married to somebody he's not supposed to be married to, but he still has the status of kain or kain hedid or kain gadol. He therefore could feed the Tzvein Barzal truma. Whereas nichse mulug, which are the avadim that belong to her, they can't be fed truma. And we gave a couple reasons why. Either because since she can't eat, she can't feed, or because gzeira, she may come to feed after she dies. Okay, after he dies. Okay. Now we're back to a general discussion about Tzvein Barzal. A woman who brings in shum, an evaluated property, the fact that we're calling it evaluated is the biggest proof that it's the same barzel. Why? Because we spoke about before. She brings the building into the marriage. If it's malug, whatever it's worth continues to belong to her, goes up, goes down, and so there's no need to evaluate it. He just gets the pay raise. So in barzel, you evaluate it and put it to the ksuva, he owes her that amount. So they evaluate the property. We put in the ksuva that he owes that amount. The marriage now ended. Divorce. He ain't married. She says, clean in eight dollars. Give me back. This kli I brought to the marriage. I want the kli. V'oimer damani naisin. He says, I'll give you the money in its place. Hadinami. Who does the halacha go like? Who does the halacha follow? Meaning, let's assume the case is where the item still remain the same value. Let's assume where the item remain the same value. Just to keep the case more simple. She's demanding, give back the item itself. He's saying, we wrote up a value for it in the ksuva that I owe you that value, regardless of whether it goes up or down, I owe you that value. I'm paying you that value. I want to keep the item. If it's worth the same amount of money, why are they fighting? Because that's what they do. That's what happens, unfortunately, in these situations, right? They both want it because because the other one wants it. Okay, whatever. Fine. Says the Markash of Maisa. But the bottom line is, they both want the item. Who gets to keep it? Amar Rabbi Amar, top of Amabez, Hadinima. The halach is with her. The halach is with her. She could demand back the item. Rav Ami Amar, Hadinima. No, the halach is with him. He can keep the item and give her the value. Rabbi Amar Hadinima, Rabbi says the value is with her. Mishum Shvach based on Vidi Dayin. Because it represents something she brought from her father's house. So I don't know if we'll call that sentimental value. It was really from her family. It makes sense that the property should go back to her family. She's not losing money. He would still be giving her the money, but the property itself belonged to her family. That's what Rabbi says it goes back to her. Rav Ami Amar Hadinima, that is with him. Why? Kivan de Amar Mar, in Mesu, Mesuloi, since Mar said, When they die, it's the loss is his loss, the mysterious Yulai. And if they go up in value, it's his gain by Tzvein Barzal, it means essentially he was kainet. And since he's chayim nechrayas, he's able to feed them truma. So from this idea of the Mishnah, we see essentially the husband owns it. He bought it. B'shas the marriage, he brought in these avadim. And the Tzvein Barzal, he essentially bought the Tzvein Barzal car, the Tzvein Barzal building, he bought, and he just owes the money. So it's like a transaction took place, and therefore he's entitled just to give her the money. Amar Zafra, Miktani Vein Shalai. You bring a proof from the Mishnah. Did the Mishnah say Vein Shalai? It didn't say those last two words. Those are key words. You're saying that since he gets the benefit if it goes up, he gets the loss if it goes down, therefore he can keep it. No, it didn't say it's his. Adrab, the Mishnah is, he's chayiv in the replacement. On the contrary, the lashon of saying I'm chayiv in the replacement sounds like I have responsibility over it, I'm obligated to replace it, but I don't necessarily own it fully. I don't have a full ownership. I get the benefits if it goes up, I get the loss if it goes down, I'm chayiv to replace that value, but I don't mamish own it. The Adrab, the lashon of chayiv achirusin does not say that it's his. Says the Gemara, chayiv to chayiv achirusin, eichel p'tshuma, the Gemara says a second. You're telling me that the reason why the Avdi turned out to get Truma is because it's Chayav Achirusin, therefore it enables the Truma, but you're saying it doesn't mean that it's his. It's not considered Shaloi, it's just that it's Chayav Achirusin. Says the Gemara, are you telling me that Chayav Achirusin automatically allows eating Truma, and even if it doesn't belong, that alone is enough to make it able to eat Truma, and therefore in our mission, the fact that it's eating Truma is not an indication that he really owns the item, and therefore the woman can demand back the item itself, but we have a problem. For tonight we learned in the Mishnah in Trumas, Yisrael shesach a parah min kayin. A Yisrael rents a parah from a kayin. Harezeach lenek kashinit Truma, he could feed the cow, because the cow belongs to the kayin, he could feed a kashinit Truma. Tais points out that the reason why I say kashinit Truma is because you're typically supposed to feed Truma kashine. Kashine is like really animal fodder. You're only supposed to feed a chuma to an animal if it's animal fodder, if it's food that's eligible for a human to eat, even if the behemoth of a kayin could eat chuma, you don't feed it food chuma that could be eaten by a human. It's considered a lower level of usage to feed it to a behemoth, and you wouldn't feed such food to a behemoth. But we're talking about kashinah chuma. Okay, so the Yisrael is allowed to feed this animal that belongs to kayin kashinah chuma. Flip side, a kayin who rents a par from Yisrael, even though he's now obligated during the rental, of course he got to feed the animal during the rental, he cannot feed this karshine, this word of karshine, this vetch. He cannot feed this vetch, this animal fodder, to the animal. Now, it's very clear that in this second case, the kohen is responsible for the animal, is responsible for feeding the animal, and yet he can't feed a truma. You see, a chrayas alone is not enough reason to feed truma, which means that in our Mishnah, when we said that zechiv a chrayas, it means more, it means a real kinyan. It means the kohen owns the avdei malug. The Tzayim Barzal owns it, and that would be right to write our child. The Kayin owns the Tzayim Barzal, he should be able to keep it and just give her the money. Says the Bar, no. The Tizbara, back in your case. You're right, he has responsibilities. He's got to feed the animal when he's watching it. This Kayin, who's rented the animal of the Yisrael, he has to feed the animal. He's Chayav B'Gnei Aveda if it gets lost or stolen. However, Ba'insa, if the animal is nenas, if there's an accident that happens, if it gets weak for some reason, if it loses value, mi mechayev, is he chayev? In that case, he's not chayev. So the Mara's deflection is, don't bring me a raya from a case where he's chayev and achrayas and he still can't feed a chuma. He's not really fully chayev and achrayas over there. He's partial chayev and achrayas, but not fully. That case isn't a raya. Holy dami, if anything, it's adrabah, says the Mara. Holy dami el seifa. If you want to compare our Mishnah's case, our Mishnah fits better with the seifa of that Mishnah. The seifa of that Mishnah, the truma says, Yisrael Shapar Sham. Para Mikayan, Yisrael evaluated the cow. He didn't stop and just rent it. He evaluates the value of the cow. By doing that, he's saying, I'm responsible to replace this exact value when I give back the cow. In that case, the Yisrael cannot feed the cow Kashina Truma, because even though the cow belongs to a Kayan, since the Yisrael took full achrayas, he can't feed the Truma. And Adrab, of a Kayan Shasham Par, Yisrael, a Kayan that evaluates the value of a Par and from Yisrael, Yechlenu Kashina Truma, he's able to feed a Kashina Truma, because since he evaluated the value and he's guaranteeing that money, it's considered as full achrayas, and therefore he could feed a Truma. Adrab, that's more Daimata Mishnah, and that Anachami would say in that case, it is like a Kenyan. So the question the Mara wanted to have against our right from the Mishnah, the Mara deflects the question, and therefore the right from the Mishnah still could stand that the kayin by Nichsus and Rousel is considered as if he's full of chrayas, and therefore he's able to feed the animal chuma. By the same token, he's considered to be a full owner of the chayfetz, and he wouldn't have to return it to the wife, even if they get divorced. You just have to replace the money, but not return it. That was the opinion of Rabbi Ami, and the raya for the Mishnah still stands. Yosef, Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef, Pshli, Pirkei de Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yosef is sitting at the end of the shir of Rav Nachman. Yes, to Karmi, they say as follows. Taikav us, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Ami. We have a price to back up each one of these. Amaram. Tanya Kabase Drabami Avi Tsarbazel Yates of Shem Ayan Lish Avi Tsarbazel, they go out by the Shem Ayan Lish Avalisha. We know the luck is if a master knocks out the tooth or the eye of the Eved goes free. So when you have the woman bring into the marriage Avadim Tsarbazel, who's the master that theoretically knocks out the tooth and causes him to go free? This price says it's the husband, not the wife. Very clear. The husband's the owner, not the wife. It makes sense. The husband gets to keep the chayfis and give back the wife back the money. That's a right of Ami. Tanik Vasser, Rida, see one more, two more lines. We'll have to stop. Tanik Vasser, Rida, Hamachneses, Shum Labala, a woman who brings in a property that's evaluated again. That's a marizal property to the marriage. In Rasa, about Limkar, Limkar, if the Baal wants to sell it, he cannot sell it. Now, first of all, if he wants to sell it, he can't sell it. He's able to use it, but he can't sell it. And furthermore, even the husband brings in from his own property a property that they evaluate as part of his ktuva. He wants to be have a generous ktuva. In Ratzah Baal Limker, now that he wants to sell, Limker can't sell. He brought it himself. But since he put it to ktuva, the guarantee that he's going to give her back the value of present right now, the present day value, whenever they eventually get divorced, he's going to give that present day value so it becomes strong enough. She has a yad in it that he can't sell it. For the fact that we see that he can't sell it in both these cases shows that it doesn't belong to him. It belongs more to her. Machush name Leparnas, if they both sold it, say Maisa Femishing a meal. If any of them sell, they should say, if any of them sell it, then the Baal can go Meitzi from the Kuchas. What do you see from the story? You see from the story that in that case we say the woman's the Baalim, not the husband, and therefore it's the right of Yehuda that she has the right to take the demand the chifas and the money. Amar Rav Amrachman Alchem Yehuda. Rav said him Rachman Alchem Yehuda. Amar Rav Amrachman V'tayim. We learned the price of Kavasi Rabami. What about the price of Kavasi Rabami? Afakav V'tayim Kavasi Rabami says back. Even though we have a price of Kavami, Mistaver Time of Yehuda, Mishum Shvach Beisabia. That reason we said before, Al Shvach Beisabia, that she brought in stuff from her father's house, therefore she should be able to maintain and get back not the value, but the chayf itself, that's for a soul of her eyes, and she's able to demand to get back the chayf. We'll pause over here.